Most Sundays, there is a theme between the first reading and the gospel. Usually, we call this typology. It's where something is alluded to in the Old Testament as occurring in the New Testament, or coming to fulfillment in the New Testament. And this week is a theme of marriage. These scriptures, both our first reading and our second reading, and our gospel, all give us some insights into what God intends marriage to be like. And we see in our gospel today this interaction between Jesus and his mother. Now, while father and son, keep in mind that Jesus is also God. And so he is interacting with one of his creatures as well. And Mary goes to him asking him to do something, actually telling him to do something. And he doesn't seem to want to do it. And then he does it anyway. Ladies, does this sound like your marriage at all? No? Good. Because men still don't listen to their wives, and then they figure out that their wives are actually quite wise. Why? Because women have a gift of insight. Women are able to see deeply into people's needs and to respond to those needs. And then men are good at executing what needs to be accomplished to fulfill that needs. You see, God made us complementary. Unfortunately, we live in a world that tends to make us focus on how we're opposed to one another, how we're different, and then how we should be so similar, this movement to make everybody on equal footing. But we're not, guys. God made us different, but made us complementary. One of the beautiful things I've observed in my parents' relationship is, yeah, when I was younger, they fought a lot, just like a lot of married couples do. But as they've grown older, I've seen how they've learned to complement one another. My mom is more creative. She comes up with ideas, creative ideas, but she doesn't know exactly how to make them happen. Dad is a problem solver, and he knows how to make those ideas happen. And so I've seen it over and over where mom comes up with an idea, and dad executes it, and they've learned that how beautiful that is that they can work together to accomplish a goal. Brothers and sisters, God made us as men and women to complement one another, not only in marriage, but in every relationship, to work with each other for a goal, and of course that goal is heaven. Why heaven? Because that is what marriage is about. And the whole of Scripture is a big story of marriage between God and his people. Secondly, we learn from this wedding feast of Cana that Jesus must be invited into our relationships, particularly our marital relationships. And this occurs just not on a spiritual level, but a practical one too. There are still people regularly going to church who are kind of holding God at arm's length because they're not willing to welcome him into their marriage. And this could be on an everyday level, not going to church, or couples that still have not validated their marriage in the church. They're willing to do a civil wedding, but not really to put their marriage under the authority of God and his church. But it also occurs on a spiritual level when we pray together, when we have spiritual intimacy with one another. We are defined as human beings as a body and a soul, right? That's what makes up a human being. And in marriage, the Bible says the two become one. But it's not just the bodies, it's the souls too. And couples who regularly share bodily intimacy often neglect the spiritual intercourse which must happen every day, praying together, reading scripture together, discerning the spirits together, as our second reading talks about. And if it seems intimidating because maybe you didn't grow up with a mom and dad who prayed together or a real healthy spiritual life, there are many guides out there that can help you begin that. Things such as what's called a couple's devotional can really help you to start to pray together. Jesus must be invited into our relationships. Lastly, we see in all of our readings that marriage is a sacrament of heavenly union, and that's all that Scripture is oriented towards. In other words, the whole Bible is a story of a marriage. A marriage between God and his people. And it's more than just an analogy, you guys. God wants you to live in eternity with him. In intimacy. And he wants you to be one with him. So close to him that you experience what Father, Son, and Holy Spirit experience within the Trinity. In fact, it's just the opposite. Our one flesh union of marriage in this life is simply a shadow of the union that awaits us in heaven. And we hear in our first reading this beautiful line. It's always impressed me, and I just feel joy whenever I hear it. It says, as a young man marries a virgin, the builder shall marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. How does a bridegroom rejoice in his bride? Well, he might get a good meal one night, right? That might help him to rejoice in his bride. But rather, he rejoices in what a good mother she is, what a good wife she is, how beautiful she is, and particularly rejoices in their intimacy. Brothers and sisters, this is the analogy that God is giving us to help us understand his delight in us. You know, and we think a lot about pleasing God, but do we think about how pleased God is with us? And we have this tendency to minimize that, don't we? We think of our sin, and we think, well, God's not very pleased with me. But what does the whole first reading say? That God delights in you. That he wants to marry you. He's madly in love with you, despite all of our flaws. And he uses this language of marriage because he so desires to wed you, to find intimacy with you, and to live forever with you in heaven. I've shared with you before my sophomore year of college. I was at Bishop Carroll with my girlfriend. The two of us were supposed to give a chastity talk to a group of senior students. And we were going through a little training with Sister Mary somebody. And I remember she told us, make sure you tell the students the goal of marriage. And we said, well, what's the goal of marriage? As ignorant as we were at that age. And she said, it's to get your spouse to heaven. And I remember turning and making a face to my girlfriend because I thought, well, that doesn't sound like much fun. But it is. First of all, it's an adventure in this life that we take on together, and not just in marriage, but in all our interactions with one another. We find that we are complementary to one another, not opposed. That we don't need the world to tell us that we all need to be equals or that men and women need to be the same. But rather that we need to learn to be men and need to learn to be women so that we can complement one another. We need to learn, number two, that God must be invited into our relationships. And that when he is invited into the relationships, just like in the gospel today, miracles can happen. Ordinary things can be turned into extraordinary things. Water into wine. And we must learn, lastly, that all of our relationship with God, the whole of Scripture, the whole of history, is defined by a desire for God to be intimate with his creation. When we realize this, we realize that every human relationship, whether it's your spouse, your boyfriend or girlfriend, your son or daughter, your mother or father, is all defined by intimacy. A desire to get each other to heaven so that we can enjoy the intimacy that God enjoys. Remember today that God rejoices in you. That your builder, your creator, delights in you. He looks down on you and he smiles. because what he has made is beautiful. And he desires to share that beauty with you forever.